Chapter 8. When Ransom Casterfo had realized Leia Organa was in danger, he had not hesitated before rushing to her rescue. Yes, she had insulted him, been difficult at every turn, proved touchy and defensive, but she was his partner in the delegation and a member of the Senate. She required help. That was all there was to it. He'd been studying some of the new construction via hover sled when his monitor had informed him that the signal he was tracking had deviated sharply from the supposed itinerary for the businessmen. Casterfo had paused only long enough to send word back to the Mirror Bright that things had gone horribly wrong. He hadn't asked for backup because the caverns down here were far too narrow for either of their ships to safely navigate. He had only meant to leave word of the danger they were in so the authorities could be informed, and people would know what had become of him and Princess Leia if they did not survive. Then he steered the hover sled downward, straight into danger. Ransom felt he'd been brave, decisive, possibly even heroic. His reward? Finding out he'd just ruined a sting operation nobody had bothered to tell him about. Wonderful. As the mobster's thugs swooped in, Ransom gunned the engines of the sled and took off. The sudden rush of speed made Princess Leia gasp, and he shouted, "Hold on to me!" One of her arms went around his waist. With the other, she grabbed the blaster from his belt. As she clung to him, she shouted over the roar of wind, "Here they come!" Ransom couldn't afford to look too closely at the approaching attackers. He needed to lose them. Losing them meant flying fast through caverns the others wouldn't want to enter. That meant he needed to keep his eyes straight ahead. Green blaster bolts sliced through the air directly in front of them, and Ransom braced himself for a direct hit on the sled. But Princess Leia fired upward, and the caverns lit up with the brilliant flash of an explosion. When she fired again, another of the pursuing sleds slammed into a wall. Ransom saw the blaze from the corner of his eye.
"I'll give her this," he thought. "She doesn't lose her nerve."
Opportunity presented itself in the form of a narrow passageway studded with stalactites. Ransom pointed the sled straight at it and accelerated to maximum speed. He half expected the princess to cry out in alarm. Instead, she merely tightened her grip around his waist and started firing behind them. The stalactites carved the space of the cavern into a maze he had to weave through, one where a single mistake meant death. Dull red, jagged rock had swallowed them like jaws of stone. Ransom forgot about the risks, let them go completely. If he considered anything farther away than the controls of this sled, he'd crash within instants. Bank left, rise. Bank left again, hard right, up, then down, hard. He only thought about the very next move, the very next second. Piloting a sled meant tilting your body along with the machine, feeling as if you were one with it. The stalactites zoomed into his field of vision moments before collision, over and over, and each time he bent and swerved just in time. Ransom felt a rush of pure exhilaration that took him beyond any fear. "They're getting too close!" Leia shouted. She fired behind them, a series of short, staccato blasts, and the stone rumbled. Had she caused a cave-in? Ransom's momentary fear changed to satisfaction as he realized Leia had targeted some of the stalactites, ensuring they'd topple in front of their pursuers. Explosions behind them lit up the crags ahead and the dark maw that promised an end to this cavern. "We're heading up!" He gripped the controls even tighter. "Brace yourself!" They emerged from the crevasse into a larger pit, and Ransom turned the sled sharply vertical. Their momentum allowed them to keep their footing, barely. "We've still got two on our tail!" Leia swore again. "See any other places we could lose them?"
"Not yet!"
Would they be shot down despite everything? Ransom heard the engines before he saw the blaster fire from above covering them. He gaped as he realized what was flying in overhead. An X-wing fighter darting through caverns hardly wider than the ship itself. It lanced through a narrow opening in the rock and spiraled over them, energy bolts streaking down toward their Nikto pursuers. At the last moment before the X-Wing would have collided with stone, it looped up again, swiftly tilting sideways and pulling in its foils to slip between stalactites. "What in the worlds is Sea Striker doing here?" Leia asked. "I've no idea. How did he even fly down this far without crashing?" "Not a clue. But it looks like he's saved our skins." So he had. The last of their pursuers were no more than glowing rubble amid the stones below. Sea Striker dipped his wings at the hover sled, no doubt signaling for Ransom and Leia to head back to the Mirror Bright while he provided cover. Ransom pulled the sled out of its sharp ascent, steadying them both. Leia's arm slipped away from his waist as he cut speed to a more manageable level. His breathing slowed as he realized the chase was truly over. His rescue mission had been successful. Unnecessary, but successful. Then Leia said, "You know, you're not a bad pilot." He turned toward her. To his surprise, she was smiling. Ransom began to smile as well. "And you're not a bad shot." Magistrate Zoon apologized profusely to Leia about the abduction and the failure of the Bastatha authorities to capture Rin Riven Dai. She accepted these apologies while idly wondering whether they'd even pretended to pursue him. Somehow she managed to sound regretful as she explained that Bastatha was now under conditional probational advisory of the New Republic. This was a fairly minor punishment as such things went, as much as they could impose upon a non-member world, but it would give the New Republic the right to observe and track activity around Bastatha for a while. She and Casterfo might not have the head of the cartel in their grasp, but they would have a chance to trace the cartel itself. That was, if the cartel didn't lay low on Bastatha for a while, which they surely would.
"Preparing for takeoff,"
Greer called from the cockpit as Leia snapped off her communications with the Bastatha authorities.
"Ready?"
"Just one thing." Leia walked into the cockpit and hit the comlink. "Lieutenant Sea Striker, you're aware that you were operating outside standard safety protocols today." His orders had told him to summon help, not to fly an X-Wing into spaces that would have led most pilots to a swift demise.
"Yes, ma'am."
Joff's voice crackled slightly in the speaker.
"Am I on report?"
"You are not, but watch it next time. The regulations are there to protect you, and I knew the risks I was taking. All right?"
"Absolutely, ma'am."
Sea Striker sounded unrepentant, but Leia shook her head and let it go. Greer hesitated before saying,
"Did Joff really dive into that cavern?"
"He did." Leia recognized the look on Greer's face now. It reminded her of Han's expression any time he saw a brand new racing ship. Pure longing. More softly, she said, "Do you miss it? Flying like that?" Greer's smile faded as she put her hands on the controls for takeoff.
"Just wish I could have seen him. That's all."
Leia didn't push any farther, simply patted Greer's shoulder as she walked back into the main lounge area of the ship. Corey had already gone to her cabin, busily preparing the reports Leia would file upon her return, which meant Ransom Casterfo sat in there alone, drinking his Gadolinton tea. By now, his fine blue cloak had been stained and torn into a parody of itself, but to judge by the smile on his face, he didn't care. His expression reminded her a little bit of Ben's when he was little, running in after an afternoon of roughhousing with his friends, hair mussed, absolutely filthy, and proud of himself. She gestured to her own tunic and pants. "You see now why I always come prepared."
"Very prudent," Casterfo said with a nod.
"Next time I'll know how to pack."
She sat on the bench next to his. "You showed real courage today. You were also reckless, but I like that in people."
"I underestimated you," he admitted. "That's a mistake I won't make again."
She raised an eyebrow. "Do you mean you underestimated my intelligence or my deviousness?" Casterfo's grin widened.
"You underestimate my intelligence, if you expect me to answer that."
Leia had to laugh. This guy was going to do just fine in politics. Encouraged, he said,
If Rin Riven wasn't threatening you, what was he trying to accomplish?
He hoped I'd accept bribes to cover up his cartel's operations. Casterfo drew himself upright, as if he'd been the one insulted.
He couldn't possibly have expected you to go along with such a thing. With your history of service to the New Republic...
My history is a little more complicated than you might think.
When Casterfo frowned in confusion, Leia pulled her cloak from the bench where she'd tossed it and drew the holocube from her pocket. The Nyctos hate the Hutts, and... let's say I had a run-in with one of the Hutts a few decades ago. It didn't end well for him.
She put the cube on the low table between them. Casterfo picked it up.
Do you want me to watch this?
Not particularly. It's not pretty.
You think I can't handle it?
Leia realized that as late as this morning, she would have believed exactly that. But Ransom Casterfo was far more than the empty suit she'd assumed him to be. It's up to you. He hit the control, then stared as he saw the small, flickering image of Leia and Jabba. Casterfo said not one word as the murder unfolded again. Leia studied his expression carefully, waiting to see signs of disgust or, far worse, glee. Instead, Casterfo's face revealed that he understood every bit of the danger she had taken on, and also understood exactly why Jabba the Hutt had to die. When the hollow ended, Casterfo took a deep breath.
I wouldn't have believed anyone could escape a Hutt's chains with her life, much less take the Hutt's life instead.
I wouldn't have either until we did it.
This was you and your brother, yes? The famous Luke Skywalker?
Casterfo now looked as eager as a child who wanted to hear his favorite story again.
How did you come up with your attack plan?
Leia had never actually told the tale in any detail, but she found herself warming to it. Luke's gift of the droids, Chewbacca's willingness to feign his own capture, her disguise as a bounty hunter. Casterfo listened raptly to it all. She'd never been one of those former soldiers who reveled in recounting her old war stories. But finally, Leia understood the appeal.
Spectacular, he said when she was done. As daring as any rebel mission I ever heard of.
So you admit the rebels were daring? Not only terrorists?
No, not only.
This was far from a complete retraction, but Leia figured she could cut the guy some slack. You're not all bad, Casterfo. He gave her an arch look.
Such high praise.
I mean it. You're brave, and you're smart, and you fly so well I'm going to have to keep my husband from recruiting you for one of his racing teams. You've got a lot going for you.
For a centrist.
He prickled slightly.
Do you think we're all so terrible?
Apparently not, she admitted. But the way you think about the Empire, admiring it, honoring it, that I can't understand.
It is not the Empire itself I honor. Palpatine's rule bred corruption and inhumanity, as I well remember.
Casterfo's blue eyes met hers for only a moment.
I'd only just turned 6 at the time of the Battle of Endor, but I assure you, Princess, I was already old enough to have experienced the Empire's evil for myself.
It sounded like there was more there, but Leia knew this wasn't the time to pry deeper into the man's personal life. She leaned back on her bench, studying every small movement and shadow of his face. So how can you proudly display stormtrooper helmets in your office? And how can you embrace a political philosophy so much like the Emperor's?
Oh, the artifacts. They're just a matter of history, aren't they?
Casterfo waved his hand absently, as if dismissing a banquet server droid who had come for his plate too soon. Leia's irritation lasted only the instant before Casterfo continued,
As for political philosophy, all we centrists want is to take a fair look at what aspects of the Empire actually worked. Centralizing power, creating maximum efficiency, binding the worlds of the galaxy closer together. Can you honestly say it did no good whatsoever?
Whatever good came of the Empire came at too high a price.
I agree completely. But what if we could achieve some of those same benefits without repeating Palpatine's mistakes?
Casterfo leaned forward,
Surely you won't deny the New Republic is committing mistakes of its own. Not the evils of tyranny and control. No. The evils of absence and neglect. Leia didn't argue. She couldn't. Castelfo's words defined her own doubts about the direction the New Republic was headed in. Namely, down. Castelfo seemed encouraged by her silence. The populist approach is less ideal than idealistic. It requires a leader who exercises power through charisma and consensus, rather than actual legal authority. With Mon Mothma, we had that. But she's gone, possibly forever, and the galaxy cannot afford the disorganization that has followed. We must find another path. He'd seen the exact same critical flaws in their government that Leia had been discussing with Han for years. What struck her most strongly about Castelfo's speech was not how much they agreed, however. It was how passionately he spoke. She had all but given up on the thought of making a difference through her work in the Senate. Castelfo still believed. Should she pity his naivete or honor his conviction? Leia found she could do both. I think you centrists want to move too far in the other direction, but you're not wrong about the weakness of our Constitution, she said, drawing the tiny tracker from her cloak. He'd slipped it into the metal clasp at the neck. Clever. We see the same problem, but different solutions. At least she and Castelfo did. Leia had her doubts about most of the centrist bench. Castelfo sipped his tea, his expression thoughtful. A pity you never stood for Chancellor. You're a powerful leader, someone with lasting moral authority. More than that, you know when to stop debating and take action. If more populists were like you, the Senate and the New Republic would be better off. I'm not eligible to cast a ballot on Ryosa, you know. No need to flatter me for my vote. Leia couldn't resist smiling as she said it. He smiled back, taking her joke in the spirit in which it had been intended. I mean every word. Even after decades in politics that had taught her to trust almost no one, Leia realized she believed him. If any hope remained for the populists to come to honest terms with the centrists and find a middle path, it would be through politicians like Castelfo. Maybe she could introduce him to Tylin Gar and Varish Vickley before she resigned, build some bridges between them, and put the beginnings of that process in motion. Before she could think of the future, though, she still had to deal with the present. You realize this mission isn't over, don't you? Frowning, Castelfo said, We haven't captured Rin Rivin Dai, but surely that will be only a matter of time. The galaxy's a whole lot bigger and darker than you're giving it credit for. Rin Riven's money will buy silence, and his reputation will create fear. He won't crawl out of his rock for a while yet, she sighed. But that's not what I'm talking about. We still don't fully understand Rin Riven's operations. Standard racketeering, but on too broad a scale. Ryloth's not that close to Bastatha, and its economy is struggling. Hardly worth looting on its own. The only reason for Rin Riven's cartel to target Ryloth is to try to get through them to the holdings of the few huts still in power. And anybody going after the hut fortunes is hunting big game. Castelfo's gaze had turned inward, processing this information. You said he hated the huts. Could this be as much about revenge as it is about profit? Possibly. Or other factors could be at work. Other factors? We were able to download some information from the droids Rin Riven left behind when he fled, Leia said. The droids hadn't all been servitors dispensing drinks. Some held significant financial data. Corey ran a preliminary data analysis. While this can't be the entirety of Rin Riven's operations, this alone suggests a network beyond anything I've ever seen, even from the huts. She punched her security code into the nearest terminal. Holograms popped up, displaying the charts of their findings. Faint greenish light played along Castelfo's face as he took it in. Rin Riven's not even keeping most of the money, he said in disbelief. It's being funneled into shadow corporations on various Outer Rim worlds. But of course he must control those, too. That was my first thought, too.
and we'll have to do a lot more digging before we can be sure. But it looks like Rinriven's simply giving that money away. We're talking about fortunes. My guess is he's not donating it to charity. Casterfo jerked upright, like a blaster bolt had hit him instead of a new idea. Rinriven's cartel is new. Too new to have built this kind of reach from the ground up. Unless he had help getting started. A sponsor. He caught on fast. Good. Someone else set Rinriven up, she said. And in return, Rinriven does their dirty work and skims off more than enough profit to keep him and his underlings happy. But who would do this on such a scale? Casterfo shook his head. Criminal bosses normally don't trust other criminal bosses to handle their operations. Whoever these people are, they must have extraordinary reasons for wanting to remain out of sight. Leia hesitated. She had no proof, only suspicions. Her observations had told her something, but not enough to act upon. Yet she felt that if she told Casterfo what she'd seen, no more, he would at least listen. I observed a group of humans at the casino last night. How could she describe them? Nothing had particularly stood out except their leader. One woman specifically, older, tan-skinned, silver-streaked hair, a slightly scarred face. She made a point of not watching us, like she wanted others to believe she didn't care. But it was too marked, too obvious. That woman was acutely aware of our presence and did not want to be noticed. I remember her, Casterfo replied, surprising Leia. I didn't pick up on that evasion you observed, but I didn't watch her long. She had an air of authority about her. I wondered whether she'd served in the military. The people with her acted as if she might have been their commanding officer once. Have you heard of the planet Daxum 4? No. Wait, a sort of desert planet, isn't it? One of the colder ones, on the outer rim. Understanding dawned. The sort of place these shadow corporations might set up shop. Not a planet lots of people are in a hurry to visit, either. In other words, an ideal place to hide out. Leia consulted her memory of the woman's face, willing herself to remember each detail. I found out those people we noticed were visiting from Daxum 4. They even seemed to intimidate the Nyctos who ran the club. Are they tied to the cartel, do you think? Could they be the power behind Rinriven's operations? Casterfo brightened. Once again, Leia saw his youth, his eagerness, but it no longer made her look on him with contempt. Instead, she saw someone overdue for a task equal to his ambitions. Maybe she could provide that. I don't know if they're connected in the slightest, Leia said. Daxum 4 doesn't show up in the first set of planets we've traced the funds to, but that may simply be the first layer of false cover. Maybe this is nothing more than a hunch, but it's a hunch we share. Willing to follow that hunch? Casterfo's grin widened. Wherever it leads. As if this were an adventure, instead of a very dangerous undertaking. But Leia had finally tasted adventure again for herself. She had something meaningful to do. She'd regained a sense of purpose, and after far too long, a little danger was a small price to pay.